I go to work, I spend time with my kiddos and my wife, and I have one little hobby that I do, and that is jiu-jitsu. I've been doing it for a few years now, and it has been great. It's made me healthier, it's made me stronger, it's given my mind clarity, and it's just become a really fun thing to do. And so that is my one little hobby, and I want to share about it with you today because I finally went up a rung in the progression in this martial art by getting a blue belt. So I'm going to talk about what that means, what the martial art generally is, and just kind of my journey in this. And to encourage you, maybe you're doing something similar. You could be doing martial arts. You could be doing anything else. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, the old Eastern proverb. That's what I want to talk about today because it's Free for All Friday. Welcome. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Friday, you know, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. Just recently back in May, we finally had a belt promotion ceremony and I got my blue belt in jiu-jitsu, going from white to blue. How do I feel? I still feel like a white belt. There's just more expectations and the higher belts beat up on me even harder now and do things to me they didn't do before, like wrist locks and heel hooks and all sorts of fun things just to make you feel beat up and learning more and more. But that's part of the process. So, all right, if you're not familiar with the arts, so in martial arts, there's three basic styles of martial arts. You gotta throw a guy, you can throwing, grappling, and striking. Okay, so the only one I haven't done very much is throwing, and judo is the big one for throwing. I asked my coach, hey, should I take a judo class? And he said, at your age, only if you want to get injured a bunch. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. I did have a coach who was a black belt in judo and jiu-jitsu, and he was just a total monster to try to fight, even more so than people who are just black belts in jiu-jitsu. So you can throw, you know, you can throw a guy, and I've been judo thrown before, and it's very, very disorienting. It's a great way, if you can learn a skill to end a fight, if you can just throw someone effortlessly and they're on the ground, it's just so disorienting. Then there's striking. I did Muay Thai for several years, but I tore my ACL, tore my knee. That'll be part of my journey I'll share. So I haven't been in years, but I loved boxing. I'd love to get back to boxing. And really, if you want to be well-rounded in martial arts, I would say you need to have a mixture of throwing, striking, and grappling, but especially focusing on grappling and striking. But throwing is also good too, of course. So jiu-jitsu is a grappling art. And the idea is just that you pin a person and get them to submit them either by, you get them to submit, give up basically, by threatening to choke them. They're going to go unconscious because you cut off their airway or the blood supply to the brain through something like a choke, or you're threatening to break one of their limbs by an arm has been extended, a leg or a knee is torn a certain way, and they want it to stop, and you can disable them in that way. So jiu-jitsu is a grappling art in that way. A lot of people misunderstand it. They think, oh, jiu-jitsu is made for smaller people to beat up bigger people. No, it's just made for people to beat up other people. You don't have an advantage in jiu-jitsu if you're smaller. Like, if you're bigger, that gives you more weapons at your disposal. So it's kind of like there's no program to make poor people become rich. What's an easy way to be rich? If you already have a lot of money, it's easier. It's easier if you have $100,000 so you get to $1 million than if you have $1,000. But jiu-jitsu does allow you, though, if you're smaller, it allows you to fight a bigger person. It's something that allows you to, you're not using just straight up force on the person. You're using leverage. You're using techniques to sweep a person, to put them on their back. It takes a lot of patience. I have to wear them down first and then strike when they've made a mistake. And then usually there, it's like if I can get on top and then arm bars are things that I love being able to do. Sometimes people in front of me, I'll grab their arm and bend it behind their back and they don't see what's coming. It's called a Kimura. It's really been a journey. It's fun. I think for a lot of guys, we talk about the male loneliness epidemic. Like, I think for a lot of guys who feel lonely, what's hard for guys, like let's say women, right? Women get together, women have conversations and they're touchy feely. They hug each other. They're friendly to each other. Guys, you know, if you don't have that physical interaction with other people, you can feel really disconnected, but it just makes you feel better to kind of do this grappling and this engagement. And the people who are involved, everybody I've met so far is humble because it takes a long time to learn this art. It takes an absolutely long time. I'm going to talk about my journey so far, but let me just give you the overview of the big journey. Like, because some of you might have a black belt, you know, in like Taekwondo or something that takes like a few years to get to. And there are Taekwondo masters that takes a very long time. But in jiu-jitsu, there are 5 belts. There's a white belt you get when you first are on the mat. Then it goes to a blue belt, then a purple, then brown, finally a black belt. Well, finally, there's a red belt, but only like 8 people in the world have that one. So a black belt in jiu-jitsu takes about 10 to 12 years. 10 to 12 years of training 3 or 4 times a week, to at least 2 to 3 times a week, to be able to earn a black belt. It is such a fascinatingly complicated art. It is like playing chess with your body. There are so many combinations. Nobody can learn all of the moves that exist because there are just so many to learn and principles. But you get to a black belt where you're a legit expert in this, I'd say it takes about 10 years to get there. I have been training so far for about 2.5 years. So I'm going to walk you through, like I have here in front of me, I kept a list of notable events. Here's how it all went down for me. Okay, so February 21st, 2022. Well, before that, at the end of 2021, my wife and I were watching Cobra Kai and we thought, hey, let's get the boys involved in a martial art. So I researched them and said, jiu-jitsu is the most practical one for them to learn if they're ever in a fight with somebody. Though honestly, the most practical one I'd say is wrestling. A wrestler has the best chance in a fight, I think, because they're fast, violent, strong, good on takedowns. So I would honestly say that if you are in a fight of all the styles that are out there, I think wrestling is your best bet to deal with someone in a fight. Jiu-jitsu, though, easily in the top three for sure. So I said, okay, let's get the boys in. So the boys started going in end of 2021. And I said, okay, I'll give it a try. I'll go to a class. I'll see. Maybe I could do this. I see the adults doing it. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll give it a try. February 21st, I go. I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. It's not a beginner's class. My gym doesn't have a beginner's class. It just throws you in the deep end. So I go and I'm trying to do it. And one of the instructors takes me to the side. He's a black belt. He says, okay, why don't you just work with me? Just try to pass my guard. And I'm like, okay. And I try to do it. Passing guard means to go around someone's legs and get on their chest. So that you can, you know, really pin them there. And I try to do it, and he plays with me like a rag doll. He threw me into the mat so hard, I threw up after class. Like, my head was spinning. I was seeing stars. By the way, I'm not athletic. Didn't do sports in high school. Made fun of people who worked out. I was not working out. I was unhealthy. I probably weighed about 200 pounds. Like I said, I'm down to about 170 now. That was just doing jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. It changed my metabolism. So I was like, pushing past 200 pounds, I was a cream puff and I felt it. And so I was like, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. I stopped going back. I was like, maybe I'll go back in the future. But I started doing boxing and I liked boxing. I was going for a few months. And then in the summer of 2022, I started going to a few morning classes. And the morning crew, I love those guys. It's just a bunch of like middle-aged guys who get together and it's chill. And I really like that. Though I love the night class now because there's killers there and it's nice to practice, and sometimes you get something and sometimes you get torn apart by those guys, but I like it. So I started that in the summer of 2022. I mentioned it on Pints with Aquinas, but I said, you know, I'm the vanilla ice of white belts. I don't know what I'm doing. And so I was still going here and there, but I was just still so lost. Then I would say in October of 2022, I really started officially training. That's when I was going regularly. There's a video on Laura's channel, Too Far with Laura Horn, called What to Do When Your Husband's Into Jiu-Jitsu. So she made that because I was now going like 3 times a week. I was going officially. So I would say like to date, like how long have I been training? It was so sporadic over that summer. I put my start date at October 2022. It's like, okay, I am legit training 3 days a week here and doing this. And then we did the video with Laura. So I started in October 22, and in December of 22, we had a belt promotion ceremony, and I was off to the side. I was going to watch everyone, and our coach Rocky, the head of the coach of the gym, was like, "Hey, get out there." I said, "Oh, I'm not getting anything though." He said, "What do you mean you're not getting anything? You get out there." So I got out there, put my white belt on. I'm like, "Why am I out here? I've been doing this for 2 months," and he gave me one stripe. Stripes are kind of a way to encourage people along their journey, especially younger belts, lower belts. Like the idea is that once you get 4 stripes, you're ready for your next belt. So if you got a stripe like once every 6 months or at least once every year, you should be ready by then to get to the next belt. But I got my first stripe, did not feel ready. So going in February of 2023, I started doing private lessons with a guy named Leonardo D'Souza. He is, I'd say 150, 5'7". He's smaller than I am. He's a smaller guy, but he is like an elite black belt fighter and champion. I have seen him wreck 300-pound guys, higher belts. Like, it is amazing. And even still today, when I roll with him, Like there will be guys, all, even higher belts, brown, black belts, I'll be rolling with them and I can recover guard at least. I get wrecked, but I can recover guard and put up a defense. When I roll with Leo, recovering guard, by the way, means getting your either your feet out so they can't get to your upper half or wrapping your legs around the midsection so you've got them locked in. They can't advance anymore. It's called closed guard versus open guard. And by the way, you might think, well, what is the use of it? This is actually very useful. Look up jiu-jitsu street fights. When you look up street fights and a guy knows jiu-jitsu and the other guy doesn't, now this doesn't work as well multiple attackers because you're fighting one guy, someone will kick you in the head. But if it's one-on-one, you see people, they just wreck them because no one thinks about, they swing their arm around, they grab them, they trip them. And when they're down on the ground, they are just helpless. And if I had to, like, I don't want to be in a fight. That's a bad idea. My first rule for self-defense is to run away. Run away, call the police. But if I had to be in a fight, if I had to, I don't want to be in a punching match. One lucky hit to the head can put you into a coma. So I would much rather do a takedown. I'd go for a single or double leg or even an arm drag and put my leg behind theirs, trip them, get them on the ground. Once they're on the ground, now you're in my town. Well, unless you know jiu-jitsu or you're freakishly strong. But when they're on the ground, it's completely different then. Most people don't know. You lost your leverage. And if you've been doing jiu-jitsu a lot, you know how to pass people, you know how to advance, and you know how to pin somebody. Even if they're twice your size, you can have leverage to pin them, keep them down, work their legs, choke them out. That is, if I had to be in a fight. So when you watch people, when you see, like, I tell the kids, boys, this guy started something. This guy's defending himself. Don't start fights. I tell the boys, don't start a fight, but you can end a fight if you have to. One time, actually, Matt, there was a bully at the park giving people grief, and he started pushing Matt. And then Matt grabbed his arm and then just did a sweep and threw him into the ground on the grass, knocked the wind out of the kid. And the kid goes crying to mommy, like, he beat me up. Typical bullies, right? Bullies are great at crying to authority figures saying that, you know, to manipulate them. And I told Matt, I'm like, no, Matt, that kid started it. I saw everything. Don't do this all the time, but I'm glad you did that and you didn't really hurt him. You know, it's just good to be able to have that. And so I was training with Leo. It was just amazing. I was still learning stuff. I remember telling Leo at that time, this is February 2023, what am I supposed to do exactly? I didn't have it in my head. Like, what I'm supposed to advance? What am I supposed to be? What are my goals when I'm trying to fight someone? It just didn't click for me. And it started to click. And then in March of 2023, I tore my ACL. There was a takedown. There was a guy. He was a blue belt. He was a cop. He was kind of an aggressive guy. And we were in a standoff. Neither of us could take the other person down. He tried to sweep me to get me to fall. And he hit my leg just the wrong way. And it, you know, I heard the snap, the pop. And I recovered from it. I did about a year and a half of, I didn't do surgery, did physical therapy, strengthened it. And I mean, it still feels a little weaker than the other leg, but I look at it this way though. I am healthier with that damaged knee, having done jiu-jitsu than if I had never started. If I had never started and continued the life where I was going, I'd weigh like what, 220, you know, couldn't work out or do anything, be miserable. I'd much rather have a slightly damaged knee and an overall healthier body than the other way around. But if you're worried, like, well, I don't want to do this sport, what if I get hurt? What if you're an older guy, like me or older? I would say the best thing you can do, you could say, yeah, I want to learn this stuff. But when you do a live roll with somebody, start sitting down. I do that almost always with people because I don't want to, like, tear my knee up. But I mean, I can do takedowns if I have to, just badly. But I would say if you want to do it for fun, just start in the sitting position or down or lying down or on your knees. And you're much, much less risk of an injury. But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep at it. So I was doing training. It slowed my training down a lot, but I kept going and it started piecing together. October of 2023, I got my second stripe. In May of 2024, we started going, me and another guy, we were both two stripe white belts. It was the next big promotion ceremony. They usually do them in May. And we go and he got his blue belt. And I got just one stripe. And at first I was a little sad. I'm like, oh, I thought I could be ready for a blue belt. I was not ready. I needed another year. I needed one more year. I could have been ready by then if I hadn't torn my knee, but it didn't click for me yet. So this last year from May 2024 to May 2025, so that would be, it's taken me about 2.5 years to get a blue belt. So the first 18 months, all over the place. I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm not athletic. Some people will go faster if they're naturally athletic. I had to just learn basic athletics and getting healthy. So that first 18 months I was lost. But the last year I felt like it clicked. Like, I understand this. I'm still bad at it, but I understand it now. when I fight like a white belt who's less experienced than me, you know, I can, even if they're bigger than me, I can get submissions. I can, it's starting to come together. And also I noticed like I could relax more. When I first started doing jiu-jitsu, and this will happen to you, if you try to do this sport and you just start out, you'll feel like you want to throw, it's the most intensive aerobics you'll ever do. Because it's like doing a bench press and the bar is trying to choke you out. And so it's like you are just using all your muscles. And I remember it's a typical white belt spazzy thing. You gas yourself. You use all your energy and you're fighting as hard as you can. And 2 minutes in, you're out of energy and you want to die. And then you get defeated. And I was doing that for the first 18 months. But the last year, I've learned how to just, I'm going to relax. And Laura was watching me roll once. It started, he was pinning me. He was in a position called side control. He was pinning me from my side, past my guard, and it looked bad. And Laura's like, oh, I thought he was going to get you. And I'm like, why isn't Trent doing anything? And I just laid there. And I just slowly put one leg over his leg, moved slightly to a certain way and angle, and flipped over. And then I'm on top, just very gentle. I like jiu-jitsu because it's gentle. I don't really want to hurt people, but I'm fine disabling them if they're going to hurt me. So I really felt that more. And just going and training with people. I'm really grateful my coaches, they invited me to like a kind of private no-gi session with some of the higher belts that just meet together unofficially outside of class. And I'm like, I'm in the cool kid club now. Woohoo! And that doesn't, now I'm out of the cool kid club for talking like that. And that was turning it to more like 4 or 5 times a week. And so my original goal when I started, in February of, or in like October of 2022, I wanted a blue belt in 2 years, December 24. They didn't do a promotion ceremony then, but they did in May of 2025. So overall, it's about 2.5 years it took me to get to the point now. When you look at the belts, I would say a blue belt, typically what they say is a blue belt is somebody who can submit an untrained person that weighs about 40 or 50 pounds more than them. It may not be easy. You may not be able to do it all the time, but you can handle an untrained person who's bigger than you in a grappling situation because the size just gives you such an advantage. If two people are untrained, equal training, bet on the bigger guy. Usually the bigger guy's going to win. That's just kind of an iron law in fighting unless the smaller guy has an advantage in training. One of the Gracie brothers in Ultimate Fighting back in the 90s, he would go out there. He was a smaller guy. Like the first mixed martial arts, Ultimate Fighting, MMA tournaments. And those in the 90s were just like wild. You'd have, what's a sumo wrestler versus kickboxer? What happens? Kickboxer drops him in 60 seconds. Gracie would go out and he would fight these bigger wrestlers, these bigger guys. I remember he fought this one guy and he just like was locked onto him and like wrapped around him and was pinned for about like 7 minutes. And then finally got to the position he wanted to be in and choked him out with his legs, with a triangle. That's when you wrap your legs around the guy's neck and use his own arm to choke him. I love triangles are super fun. I love Kimuras, arm bars. I like omoplatas, but I rarely ever pull them off. Though now more I've seen as a smaller guy, a lot of people I roll with, I'm 170. A lot of people I'm rolling with are 220, 250. I've noticed that in order to keep up with them, I've got to take the back. Like if you're a smaller person, if you can fight, take somebody's back, all their weapons are pointed away from you. You can do a lot of, you can do damage there. You can choke them out. It's nice to be able to do that, you know, just to learn that basic submission. So that is where I'm at now. I've gotten the blue belt and you know, I'm just going to keep at it. We'll see what God does. Hopefully pray I don't get an injury or something like that. It's been a fun hobby and it's been something that's great for my mind. Like when I'm doing debates and stuff, it's like jiu-jitsu. So I feel like it's good for my particular mind when I'm doing this kind of stuff. Oh, I forgot. In July and September of 2024, after I got my third stripe, I tried some tournaments as a white belt. Tournaments are hard because a lot of these guys, I'm like, are you really a white belt? I've seen some of these white belts at the white belt tournament who submit people in 8 seconds. I'm like, okay, blue belt. Like, are you, that's called sandbagging in jiu-jitsu lingo, that they're purposely being at a lower belt when they deserve to be at a higher belt and they're competing. The first time I rolled, I was horrid. I panicked. I just panicked in the tournament, the bright lights, the loud noise. I was closed guard and I just froze up in closed guard, wouldn't let the guy go. The ref accused me of stalling and it was 0-0 for about 4 minutes. And then he ended up, I gassed myself, lost my energy. He passed my guard, got 7 points on me. And then I flipped him around and I went to his back trying to do something and the timer ran out. So I lost 7-0. Not horrible though, and he didn't submit me. The second time I fought was in September of 24. I got I fought better, but I did worse because the guys I were fighting were much better. Like if I had lost maybe like 3 pounds, I could have been in a smaller weight category. And I looked at those guys and I was taller than all of them. I was like, oh, I wish I was fighting them. I looked at the guys in my line and they had these faces of guys that looked like they had been let out of prison. And I have a face of someone that you might say, was he ever in a Disney Channel show when he was younger? Nickelodeon. But I was able to hang in there. I roll with a guy and I remember like he got on me, he got a takedown, he was on top of me in technical mount, but I was able just to really wriggle my way out of that, flip the script on him and put him in side control. And I almost got to his mount, my foot got caught. So when I roll, my strategy is to be really sneaky, to lull people into a false sense of security and then strike when they're not expecting it. Everybody's got a game. That's kind of turned into my game when I'm engaging people. And then he got me with a rear choke at the last 30 seconds, basically. The next guy I fought, I was like, okay, I got one more shot to get a medal if I could beat this guy. So I'm going, and he fights a guy before me. He dislocates his finger. It's pointing all the way out to the side, inhumanly. He snaps it back into place himself, tapes it, and then beats that guy. And then he walks up to fight me. And I was like, all my morale was destroyed. I'm like, this guy was like the Terminator, and he just wrecked me in about 25 seconds. You never know who you're going to get. Are you going to get like a right? I fought other guys who are just hobbyists. They're just dads having fun. And that's fun. And I fought other people that are monsters. But I did it because I wanted to show my boys, like, one of my boys medaled, and the other one, he was like 2 points away from getting a medal. And he was really sad. And I told him, look, I'm proud of you for stepping out on this mat. Like a lot of your friends would not have the guts to do this. Like I haven't won any of my matches, but guess what? Like I put myself out there and that's the biggest victory, to do something that most people are really scared to do. And I'm proud of you, son, for getting out on that mat and doing that. Like when I see people at these tournaments, I see dads sometimes yell at their kids, like, come on, what are you doing? Come on. And they get all mad at their kid. And I can always tell the dads who get mad are the ones who don't do the sport themselves. And I just want to go up to them and be like, because they're acting like it's so easy. And with little kids especially, it looks easy. Like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? But remember, from that kid might weigh only 50 pounds, but he's fighting another 50-pound kid. It's scary from his perspective. And I might want to tell this dad, you're here and you're yelling at your kid. Let's see you weigh what? I don't know, 220, 230? Congratulations. That's the heavyweight division or ultra heavyweight. Why don't you get on the mat with a 230-pound guy charging at you like a raging bull? And let's see you act out on there. So don't give your kid grief. You know, until you get on that mat, and then you'll see the respect you should give your son for putting himself out there, for doing something it's scary. It's a fight. Like I've had hard training sessions, but when I did a tournament, I was sore for a week after. It felt like you get hit by a train. You give 110%. You're just fighting a guy. Like, all right, let's go. You're going to hurt this guy's going to hurt me, so I'm going to hurt him. I'm not going to be a jerk about it. I'm not going to try to permanently injure him, but we're going to hurt each other. That's just the nature of the beast. So when I see that, that's why I did the tournaments, even though, you know, they were a good learning experience. Would I ever do another one? I don't know. Maybe at the end of my blue belt journey. Because a tournament, it's like, you know, you don't want to just get your belt into a tournament unless you're like a savant or something. So that was in 2024 after the third stripe. And then I was like, no. Also, I told my wife, like, I don't want to do tournaments because to do a tournament well, you have to be an athlete. You have to train like an athlete. You can't just train like a hobbyist. And right now I want to focus on my work at Catholic Answers, my children, my family. Jiu-jitsu is just something fun I do. I do not want it to be an obsession, even though it turns into that for a lot of people. Probably because I've been going on and on right now. So yeah, so that's where I'm at now. Got the blue. My goal now, purple belt in 3 years. If I could get a purple belt, purple belts are like mini black belts a little bit. They're the ones that black belts are a little afraid of if they don't control them. Like white and blue are beginner belts in this sport. Purple, brown, and black are advanced. I would say like you don't really know jiu-jitsu until you're a purple belt. And then I'll be like, you don't really know it till you're a brown belt or a black belt. But that's the goal. And I'm just going to keep at it. And you know what I want to do too, by the way? I want to do a Catholic grappling conference or martial arts conference where it's like, hey, you could come. I'd love to invite Andrew Swafford, who does jiu-jitsu, Boss Rutan, who is an MMA fighter and a Catholic speaker, and just invite people to have talks. And in between talks, you can go roll on the mat with people. So that might be fun, maybe in the future. But all right, thank you guys for listening. And I hope you have a very blessed weekend.